The Tom Woods Show, episode 951.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Men, get yourselves an excellent shave at an outstanding price with Harry's and get your $13 trial set for free. Just cover shipping. Check it out at harrys.com/woods. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Short little episode today, I am thinking. It's on Amazon, and it's just a response to an article somebody sent me called Why I'm Never Signing Up for Amazon Prime. You think, why do I care why somebody's going to sign up for Amazon Prime or not? What difference does that make? Well, it doesn't really make a difference, the one person, but the arguments that are raised about Amazon, I think, are not that strong. And I just found it interesting that I searched around, and people think they're really cheeky if they write an article in defense of Amazon, because everyone just assumes that Amazon must be evil. And I'm trying to figure out why Amazon is evil. And the main reason seems to be that it satisfies an awful lot of people and allows a lot of people to save money. I see a couple things about Amazon employees, but those are almost always mentioned as an afterthought. Really, it's that Amazon's just too darn good. It's so weird that we've gotten to that point that, and you'll see that in this article by a guy named Vlad Savov. I'll link to it at tomwoods.com/951. And, let me start off. First of all, the whole context of this is that Amazon, as you may know, has something called Prime Day. What day? Prime Day. Prime Day is when, if you're a member of Amazon Prime, you have a subscription to it, you get access to all kinds of crazy deals. And this particular writer is giving us reasons that he will never join Amazon Prime. So let's look at them. He says, first up has to be the matter of deals. Deals suck. Kind of an odd thing to say, isn't it? Now, then he's speaking, he has to realize, speaking just for himself, he says, discounted goods are bad for me as a consumer because they nudge me into buying things I don't need just to be frugal and collect the massive saving inherent in the discount. Okay, well, that just means he never took a course on personal finance or something, which maybe he needs. He says, that's how I've ended up with a collection of pristine, totally unworn sneakers that seem too cheap to pass up. But you know what? I bet you, the listener, don't have a collection of unworn sneakers because they were cheap at Amazon. That the thought of buying sneakers on Amazon because they're cheap, or buying them anywhere just because they're cheap and never actually wearing them, would never, ever cross my mind. And that's probably true of a lot of people. Now, other people are addicted to shopping the same way other people are addicted to other things, cigarettes or alcohol or whatever. And so they can't make responsible decisions. But that doesn't mean the rest of us can't. And maybe he's not even saying that the rest of us can't. Maybe he genuinely is saying that deals are bad only for me. Well, that's if we're being super, super charitable in our interpretation of what he's saying, because he later says, browse through Amazon even without the hyperactivity of Prime Day, and you'll see that deals are the norm rather than the exception. We've come to expect discounts on everything. Okay, so he's clearly saying discounts are bad. And then he goes on to say, as if to prove what I'm saying, insofar as possible, I think we should pay full price for the things we want. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But isn't that amazing that we've got to this point in the critique of a private company and implicitly a critique of the whole market system, because the market system is, its tendency is to push prices down. The critique is that it pushes prices too far down. Now, that was not the critique that people had of it 100 years ago. It was that it only helps the super rich and it exploits people. And I mean, that was ignorant 100 years ago. But now they're reduced to, okay, enough's enough already with the low prices thing. Isn't that amazing that you could be that basically spoiled by the market system that you have to dig that deep to find something to be unhappy about? I mean, I can't I can't get over that. So he says, you know, the strongest signal we can give to manufacturers who produce great things is to just buy the things at their full price. I don't see why that would be. And he says, the best way to exercise any influence on the direction of consumer goods and design is with your spending. Well, that's true. Just buy the thing. But I trust the manufacturer to figure out what the market clearing price is and just offer it to me at that price. So, yeah, you do direct the production of goods in the sense that producers are going to tend to want to produce things that generate a lot of consumer spending. So your spending is going to tend to influence their decision on what to produce. But that doesn't follow from that that they'll only produce things if you pay retail. The retail price is often, you know, kind of a maybe just an arbitrary benchmark. Everybody knows it's actually going to sell at some other price. So it's funny that he's hung up on the retail price not being paid. I'm pretty sure most manufacturers already know the retail price is not going to be paid. They want to offer you an irresistible deal because that generates sales. It generates attention for their product. It gets the word out about their product because the more people have it, the more testimonials they can get. They don't want to be constrained in the price that's offered. Sure, they would love it if everybody paid $1 million for their product, but this is silly and ridiculous and unnecessary. All right, then he says, free delivery is never free. He says, with Amazon Prime, you can just shop unthinkingly. You can order a whole bunch of things, try them out, and then return all but one item, let's say. And this shows us the real cost of this so-called free delivery, which is the pollution that's caused by all these back-and-forth trips with a truck and a boat and a plane, pushing stuff around the world. This is wasteful and polluting, he says. All right. Well, that's for stuff that you order, try out, and return. But I would tend to think, I'll even grant him that, I would tend to think that's not the major bulk of Amazon purchases, right? I bet there are a lot of people who've never done that. Most people just buy stuff from Amazon. Returns to Amazon are exceptionally low because nobody wants to go to the trouble to do it. So generally, returns are low. So I think we should instead consider what the bulk of purchases from Amazon are like. The bulk of purchases are just, I buy a computer game, I get it, end of transaction. I buy 3 books, I receive them, end of transaction. That's what most Amazon transactions are like. So I could be wrong about this, in which case I would want to be corrected. But it seems to me that if we leave out this, I think, unfair selection of his, of just talking about things that, you know, maybe people order 12 pairs of pants and they get them and then they return 11 of them. Okay, but I don't think that's what most Amazon orders are like anyway. Most Amazon orders are just the one, as I've described. People order something, they order a radar detector, they get it, end of transaction. And given that that's what most of the transactions are indeed like, I think there's less pollution with Amazon. Because if there weren't, then it would make sense for us all to go to the post office and pick up our mail instead of having the mailman deliver it. Because this same person would be complaining that, well, the mailman, look at all that pollution. Every single person has to get mail, and so he's going to drive all around the neighborhood. Well, yeah, but if we each had to go pick up our mail, then every one of us would go to the post office and return. Go to the post office and return. Go to the post office and return. Whereas instead, you have one mailman driving through the entire neighborhood, making one trip out to the neighborhood, visiting every house, and making one trip back to the post office. So instead of 87 back and forth trips, you have one. So presumably that would save money and resources and lead to less pollution. So I think the same principle holds for package delivery, and therefore for the vast majority of what Amazon does. Instead of a million of us running around and going from one store to another, vainly searching for something, I find it immediately on Amazon. There's one trip made. I don't make 5 trips looking for one item. I find it on the internet. I find it through Amazon. It gets delivered to me. It's one trip. That's it. So it seems to me that's even better. But again, maybe maybe I'm missing something in the logic. I think that's certainly possible. Then the argument comes up. Of course, we hear this a lot with Walmart, that because of these great deals from this one retailer, we're seeing that people are not wanting to shop at smaller places anymore. And these niche stores are struggling to survive. And so, you know, you see a lot of independent bookstores struggling, which is also a function of the growth in ebooks, but not entirely. And chain stores doing better and chain restaurants and everything. And this is blamed on Amazon and Walmart. And no doubt they play a role in this. But I think this is always an obfuscation, because who's actually making the decisions to buy or not to buy? The consumer. If consumers prefer the service they get from Amazon and the prices they get from Amazon on the grounds that, well, I save money at Amazon, that gives me extra money to spend on other things, which of course helps the people who sell those other things, by the way, or it gives me more leisure time because I don't have to work as hard because I can save money on everything I buy. Everything is about half the price of what it used to be. I mean, think of like at Walmart, for example, think of like baby's clothing, how cheap it is compared to how it was 30 years ago. It was ridiculous. You were getting ripped off constantly. So a lot of people made the decision that, well, on balance, although I would like to shop at a boutique store, practically speaking, I need to shop at Amazon or Walmart. And that's their decision. Now, it's true that consumers have terrible taste on a lot of things, and you may come to that conclusion. You're perfectly at liberty to say, boy, I think most people have terrible taste. I think most people have terrible taste in music. I think that people listen to things that are absolutely unlistenable, absolutely horrible, that are just like saccharine. They're just a waste of your time. And I just think, geez, if they only listened to what I listen to, their lives would be so much happier. Like, they don't even know what's possible in music. If they think all that there is 3-minute songs that are forgettable in 5 minutes. Anyway, I'm getting on to something else. But it's true, consumers make a lot of terrible decisions. When I lived in Topeka, Kansas, every time somebody committed the crime of trying to open a decent pizzeria where the pizza was actually edible, the people of Topeka mercilessly drove that guy out of business for committing that crime. Mercilessly. We want our $5 Little Caesars pizza, and that's what we're going to have if it's the last thing we do. Extremely frustrating. Extremely frustrating. It's interesting. There are almost no good chain pizzerias, if you ask me. Now, in New England, you had Pizzeria Regina, which was pretty good. And I always liked Papagino's growing up. But for some reason, it just doesn't work. Chain pizzerias just doesn't seem to work. I mean, not like a lot of chain restaurants are super duper outstanding, but you know, Longhorn is decent for a chain steakhouse, I think. But pizza, oh my gosh, it just doesn't work. Well, anyway, but the point is, it's the consumer's decision. And they've decided that on balance, having more leisure time and being able to satisfy more of their preferences outweighs the pleasure they get from shopping in a boutique store. And so you got to adapt to that. What about the possibility that Amazon could become a monopoly if it's so good? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Hey, everybody, it's Tom Woods, and I have never had a better shave than I've gotten with Harry's Razors, which I love, and which when it was time to get Michael Malice a special gift at Christmas time, I got him a monogrammed razor handle and a whole set from Harry's because it's top quality and the company has a great story. It was just two regular guys who thought, I'm pretty sure we can undersell some of these razor companies. So they bought their own factory and they went ahead and did it. They bought a German factory that had over 100 years of blade making experience, so they would get the highest quality. And the result is the tremendously successful Harry's Razors, which I've been using myself with much success. Well, they are giving you a free trial offer, 13 smacker value for free when you sign up. Just cover shipping. What are they going to send you? a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Unbelievable deal. Check it out at harrys.com/woods right now. That's harrys.com/woods. Hey, everybody, I'm back, and we're talking about Monopoly. What if Amazon becomes the only retailer for everything? Like what seems to have happened in the movie WALL-E, if you see that, where there's one giant retailer. All right, well, there are problems with that. There are reasons that that is highly unlikely to occur. And one of the key arguments is that, of course, they would have to undersell not only every existing competitor, but every potential competitor, which means that they would constantly be keeping prices extremely low. This strategy of so-called predatory pricing, of, let's say, selling below cost or selling at a level that no one could possibly match, is only superficially plausible. Professional economists have more or less rejected this idea because it's actually far more difficult to carry out than you could imagine. So I'm actually going to refer you to an article I wrote. I've probably referred to it before, called The Misplaced Fear of Monopoly. I'll link to that at tomwoods.com/951 because I think it's the best that I've done on tackling that particular question. I don't think I could improve on it. So check that out, and I think it'll put your mind at ease on one of these issues that libertarians have to face. But what about one company taking over everything? Or what about the problem of monopoly? Is this something that the free market spontaneously creates, and therefore is the free market something we should fear? We got all of that. I got all that covered. Then the author talks about Amazon's employment practices and these stories that we're hearing about what a terrible place Amazon is to work. And it's hard to know what the truth is here, but it does seem that it probably is a very competitive workplace, both for people doing physical labor and for white-collar workers. That seems quite possible. And no doubt there could be cases where people are treated very badly, and we would all prefer to see that not happen. So that's not controversial. It is interesting that I was reading an article on Huffington Post that was somewhat critical of Amazon, that nevertheless conceded this. This is what the writer at Huffington Post said. Jobs at Amazon are physically demanding and the expectations can be high, but the company's fulfillment centers are not sweatshops. In late September, I visited the Chester warehouse for an hour-long guided tour. Employees were working at a speed that seemed brisk yet reasonable. There were no idle moments, but no signs of exhaustion either. And I always felt like, of course, we don't want to see people abused. No question about that, of course, but I always want to compare things. If this is the job somebody has, it means that that person considers the next best job to be worse than this one. That's why they chose this one. Or maybe the next best job is no job at all, so they chose this one because it's better than nothing, literally better than nothing. So I sometimes wonder, why is all the criticism directed at, for example, a company that's not, you know, paying enough? They're only paying $8 an hour or something, or they don't give enough breaks or something. Why isn't any of the ire directed at all those, you know, maybe dozens of companies that never hired the person in the first place? They're paying the guy zero. Why shouldn't they be criticized? Why is the only criticism directed at the one company that's actually supporting the person? Also, I think for the sake of completeness, we have to think of Amazon's impact on a lot of people, like, for example, on authors. Now, let's just think about authors who self-publish via Amazon. Amazon has made that extremely easy. They've made it very inexpensive. They work with you very diligently. They're wonderful to work with. I've published through them once, and I had a great experience. The book did very well. It came out well. I've had no problems with fulfillment. It's been great. Also, think of the royalty structure. Good grief. With traditional publishers, once you've sold 10,000 copies of your book, you start getting a 15% royalty. Up to that point, you get a smaller royalty. 15%, that's the top you're going to get, and everybody's excited about that. At Amazon, it's 70% when you publish through them. It's about 70%, which is amazing. Absolutely amazing for authors. That's liberating for authors. There are many authors who can make a go of writing books thanks to Amazon and its structure for royalties. That's an amazing thing that many, many authors are quite pleased about. And there's an article over on Slate called In Defense of Amazon. And this is a person who's published through Amazon, where Amazon is basically paying advances to some authors and making it possible, again, for them to publish when it would be harder for them to make a go of it through traditional publishers. The guy from Slate writes, "When Amazon picked me up off the slush pile in 2011, my decade-long five-book career was effectively dead. I had a modest contract with a legacy publisher for a pseudo-self-help book, but I didn't want to write it, they no longer wanted to put it out, and I'm pretty certain nobody would have wanted to read it. My antiquated dream was to write novels, but my previous and only novel had sold so poorly that I wouldn't have been able to give away the next one for free to any publisher. Instead, through Amazon, I've published 3 full-length novels." And then he's also published shorter books and so on in the past 30 months. He calls it the most enjoyable creative burst of his career. And he says, "Amazon has supported my strange whims. Their formula for literary success is, as far as I can deduce, write as many books as you can and sell them cheaply and in bulk. But that doesn't mean making a shoddy product. The editing at Amazon Publishing, and I've worked with several different editors, has been as good as any I've ever received, as has the copy editing and design. They're willing to work at my pace and always tell me that I can slow down my pace if I need to. I haven't gotten rich, but I haven't dropped into poverty either. Even though none of my books has sold more than 15,000-ish copies, Amazon continues to pay me to write them. The idea is that eventually one of my efforts will hit, and then the backlist will rise. The advances aren't huge, they've all been in the low 5 figures, but that strikes me as exceedingly fair pay for mediocre-selling serialized novels about an L.A. yoga detective." Interesting. And then also think about small booksellers now. Are small booksellers necessarily going to be destroyed by Amazon? Not necessarily. A small niche used bookstore can now tap into Amazon's huge, huge customer base by making their books available on Amazon. And so, if anything, it's given stores like that a new lease on life. So I am a very happy member of Amazon Prime, and I intend to stay that way. And, of course, you can... I'm able to have an assistant who helps me on the show because of the Amazon affiliate program. Like, if you get your stuff, before you get something at Amazon, if you think to type in tomwoods.com/Amazon, that'll take you to Amazon, just like any other way, but your order will get a commission on it, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. And that, too, helps a lot of people, helps a lot of bloggers stay running. That's a tremendous boon to a whole lot of people. So I think if we look at it on balance, it's a pretty good thing. And I am super-duper excited to be part of it on a number of levels. As a consumer and as a producer of books, as an author, I've been very happy, and I don't see why certainly an author should be anything but thrilled with Amazon. All right, I've got a listener website to tell you about really quickly. It's classicaltheism.com, and it's a site that basically defends Catholicism and traditional arguments about the existence of God and how to respond to a lot of the common objections you're likely to receive. And because the guy's been listening to what I say, and look, because he's been listening to me, he gives away a free ebook when you opt into his email list. So that's awesome, right? He's doing exactly the right thing, building up his list while giving away great content. So check it out at classicaltheism.com. I'll link to that at tomwoods.com/951, of course. And don't forget about your free publicity for that website that is still but a twinkle in your eye. If you get your hosting through me, through my link, then you'll get free publicity, which is what every site needs, so that tumbleweed doesn't go by while you're sitting there on your site. You want traffic. I'll bring you some traffic, plus some other neat bonuses you can find out about at tomwoods.com/publicity. All right, that's it, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.